Let's take our Bibles and turn to Colossians 1, and we'll be looking at several verses here in this chapter. You know, it has been rightly stated, the world is happy to let Jesus Christ be a baby in a manger, but not willing to let him be the sovereign King and Lord that he is. Yet that is the central theme or truth of the Christmas story. The child of Christmas is God. Ladies and gentlemen, Christmas is all about the incarnation of God. Christmas is God come in the flesh. Christmas is, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And apart from the Almighty stooping to become a tiny infant, Christmas really has no legitimate meaning at all. Honestly, what significance, how much weight, how much validity does jolly old St. Nicholas, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Frosty the Snowman, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, silver bells, Santa Claus is coming to town, all I want for Christmas is my two front teeth, carry when compared to, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from this day forth, even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord will perform this. How does that compare with Dominic the donkey? And yet, where do we put the emphasis? We're kind of sad, aren't we? Where do we put the emphasis? I say there's no equivalence, no parallel, no comparability. And this morning I want to further buttress this truth that the baby in the manger was and is truly God. By focusing on Christ being, and these are going to be our points this morning, we have six of them. Number one, the fullness of God. Christ, secondly, being the image of God. Christ being the firstborn of God. Christ being the arm of God. Christ being the Lamb of God. And Christ being the gift of God. Now, there has never been, nor will there ever be, another person like Jesus Christ. For, and here is our first point, in him dwells all the fullness of God. Even as a babe in the manger, in him dwelt the fullness of God, which tells us that in Christ resides the totality of the divine powers and attributes. Now, when Paul wrote the book of Colossians, he addressed the heresy known as Gnosticism, which believed, among other things, that matter is evil and the spirit is good. And because God is a spirit, they said he is good, but he could never touch matter, which is evil. Therefore, they concluded that God couldn't be the creator of the physical universe, because if God is made of matter, he would be responsible for evil, which led them further to teach that God could never have become a man, because as a man, he would have to dwell in a body made of evil matter. And so to explain away the incarnation, these Gnostics, these heretics, said that Jesus was a good angel whose body was only an illusion. But Paul writes in Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse 15, that the Lord Jesus, the one who has come in the flesh, that baby in a manger, is the image of God, the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. In him should all fullness dwell. Remember, John wrote in 1 John 4, verse 2, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And then he said, every spirit that confesseth not is not of God. And so found in the manger is the fullness of God. Now the Gnostics distributed the divine powers among the various eons, but Paul gathers them all up in Christ. All the divine nature in all its fullness dwells in him. Colossians 2:9 says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus in the manger possessed the fullness of God. Point number two, Jesus in the manger not only possessed the fullness of God, but he is the image of God. As we just read in Colossians 1 verse 15, Christ is the image of God, which means he is the perfect replica, the precise copy and duplicate of God. The Greek word icon, I think you've heard of the icon camera, well, that's where it came from. The word image, icon, says that God himself is fully manifested in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus, which means, as Christ himself said in John 14:9, he that has seen me has seen the Father. I and my Father are one. Hebrews 1:3 expands on this identical affirmation by saying, Christ is the brightness of God's glory, the express image of his person, the express image of his person. And he upholds all things by the word of his power, which beautifully says to us that Christ is to God as the warm illumination of light is to the sun. Just as the sun is never without its brightness, so God is never without the brilliance of his Son. Again, God's perfect likeness is revealed in Jesus. Jesus is God in the fullest possible way. Again, the exact image of God is seen in Christ, who came as a baby in a manger. The baby in the manger is the fullness of God. The baby in the manger is the image of God. And third, the baby in that Bethlehem manger is the firstborn of God. Again, verse 15 of Colossians 1, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Now, does this description mean that Jesus was a created being, firstborn of every creature? No, the Greek word translated firstborn describes Jesus' rank and not origin. In the Hebrew family, firstborn meant the heir, the ranking one, the one who had the rights of inheritance. And in a royal family, the firstborn meant that this son had the right to rule. And so what this verse is saying is that Christ is the one who inherits all creation and is given the right to rule over it. As 1 Timothy 6:15 and Revelation 19:16 rightly tell us, he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. The baby in the manger is the fullness of God. The baby in the manger is the image of God. The baby in the manger is the firstborn of God. Can we begin to see there's some significance to this baby in the manger? Amen? And the babe in the manger is the arm of God, which tells us that Christ is the creator of everything. In verses 16 and 17, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Christ is not a mere part of creation. He is the creator of creation. He is the very arm of God, active from the beginning of time, who has called the entire universe into existence. Remember, in the beginning, God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, created the heavens and the earth. John 1 verse 3 tells us all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. If you are honest, you have to believe that intelligent design created this universe. Without him was not anything made that was made. And all this could not be true if Jesus himself were a created being. Now let's think about Christ's creation. And let's rightly acknowledge it is quite a large creation, quite a large universe, which gives us a pretty good idea how big and majestic our Lord truly is. The size of God is witnessed by the size of his creation. For example, a hollow ball the size of our sun could hold 1,200,000 Earths, with enough room left over for 4,300,000 moons, which tells me that the sun is very, 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 very large. Something that can hold 1,200,000 Earths and 4,300,000 moons is a pretty large sphere. Amen? Now, the next nearest star, Alpha Centauri, is 5 times larger than the sun, while the star Betelgeuse, one of the stars visible in the constellation Orion, is 248 times larger than the sun. And Arcturus, another star, is 10 times larger than Betelgeuse, which tells us the stars just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And of course, we have talked numbers of times about the speed of light, which travels 186,000 miles per second. Well, if you and I could travel that fast, let's say we shot off at Cape Canaveral in a rocket ship that could travel the speed of light, it would take us 4.5 minutes to reach Mercury. It would take us 35 minutes to reach Jupiter. It would take us 1 hour to reach Saturn. Keep in mind, you're traveling 186,000 miles per second. The nearest star would take us 4 years and 4 months. And the edge of our galaxy, the Milky Way, would take us, traveling at the speed of light, 100,000 years. And we're talking about only our galaxy. Remember, the Milky Way galaxy is surrounded by billions and billions and billions of other galaxies, which are just as big or bigger than our own galaxy. Again, who created it all? The babe in Bethlehem. He has made everything, which declares what a strong arm he must have. Colossians 1:17, we just read it, tells us that he Not only did he create all things, but he holds all things together. You know, if Christ didn't hold everything together, there would be this huge massive hydrogen explosion. But he holds it all together, all the atoms he holds together. Hebrews 1:3 tells us he upholds all things by the word of his power. And I proclaim again what a strong arm he must have. Which prompts me to exclaim, how big is God, how big and wide his vast domain, to try to tell these lips could only start. He's big enough to rule this mighty universe, but he's small enough to live within my heart. The babe in the manger is the arm of God. Point number 5, the babe in the manger is the Lamb of God. Remember, John the Baptist announced of Christ, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which does what?" Or who does what? Takes away the sin of the world. We quote that verse so often, but think about it. Ponder it. The Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. Which raises the question, well, how can he do that? Well, Christ as the Lamb of God became the offering, the sacrifice for our sins. He died, as Peter says, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. He took our sins, he paid its penalty, eternal death through his death on the cross. And now he invites us to seek forgiveness of our sin through his atoning blood. And when we repent and believe in Christ for our salvation, he takes the hand of the repentant, yielded sinner, and the outstretched hand of a holy yet loving God, and he joins us together. He reconciles God and man, and thus peace is made through the blood of the cross. I say, what a Lamb of God Christ must be. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. The grandest feeling I could ever have is knowing that my sins have been forgiven. That the guilt is gone. Again, what a Lamb of God Christ must be. And then one more point this morning. The babe in the manger is finally the gift of God. Remember Romans 6:23, but the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God. Now certainly gift giving is front and center during this time of the year. I mean, it's all consuming. All that we spend on giving gifts to one another, and there's nothing wrong with that. But let me just say, the living God is fully vested in the spirit of giving. And what a gift of love he gives. For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave. And he gave his only son. He gave his only son to die. I have 2 sons. Boy, I could never even imagine giving my sons to die for people that hate me. You know, it's one thing giving your son to die for people that love you. To give your son to die for people who hate you and use your name in vain. I mean, that is love. I mean, I can't hardly even fathom that love. This one who was God in the flesh, who is the fullness of God, who is the image of God, who is the arm of God, who is the firstborn of God, who is the Lamb of God, who takes away our sins, is the gift of God. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no greater gift God could give. Don't let that just pass you by. For in Him and through Him is life, it's full life. As He says in John 10, verse 10, it is abundant life, it is eternal life that He wants to freely give to us. We don't have to do anything but simply believe it and receive it. Remember, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And please understand, God in giving this gift is really giving Himself. You know, it's one thing to go to the store or go online and buy something for someone else. We spend our money for this gift that I'm giving to my wife or my son or daughter or grandchildren or whoever. But here we have God giving Himself. I don't know what else God can do. God giving Himself. And He really wants you to have this gift. Meaning there's nothing begrudgingly at all about this gift. It is given graciously. It is given freely. It is given desirably. In fact, this unspeakable, indescribable gift God wants all of us to have. You and I are on His Christmas list. 2 Peter 3:9 tells us God doesn't want anyone to perish, but His desire is for all to come to repentance. And whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How often, in speaking of gifts, how often the gifts we give at Christmas turn out to be really unnecessary, insignificant, even meaningless. I mean, sometimes you give children gifts, and what do they end up doing? They end up playing with the boxes the gifts came in. How many ties never get worn? You've heard of what the bald man said when he got a comb for Christmas? He says, "I'll never part with you." But God, in giving us this baby in a Bethlehem manger, in essence, as I've just indicated, is giving us Himself. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ said, "I and my Father are one," so that we who were alienated from God and were enemies because of our evil behavior, He is now reconciled by Christ's physical body through death to present us holy in His sight without blemish and free from accusation. King James states, to present us holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight, which tells me that God's gift is transformational. For Jesus, when we receive the gift of God, when we receive Christ, He gives us a new heart. And we become a new creation. We experience, as I've indicated already in this message, we experience the life of God. It's no longer, Paul said, it's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. The gift of God. Christ is the gift of God. With Christ comes life. With him comes transformational life. With him comes eternal life. With him comes life that's abundant, life that's free. What more could a loving God give to sinners who hate him? And yet you have millions and millions of people this Christmas season who somehow, someway will hear the gospel, and yet they will turn their back on the one who has come to free them from the bondage of sin and death. Oh, they'll take the presents that are under the Christmas tree. They'll gladly receive them. But the gift of God through his Son, they'll say, we will not have this man rule over us. What else is God to do? Are we that hardened in our hearts that we say, no, no, no? I say, believe in this baby in the Bethlehem manger. He is your hope. He is your life. He is your salvation. He is the healer of your heart. Again, Christ is the fullness of God. Christ is the image of God. He is the firstborn of God. He is the arm of God. He is the Lamb of God. And he is the gift of God. That was no ordinary babe in that manger. Amen. That baby is God. We sing, O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us. Abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel, God with us. The central theme of the Christmas story, the baby in the manger, is God. And God's people said, amen. Do you know this God as your Savior?